Once they were back outside, it was nearly dark by then, and an incredibly sweet summer breeze had sprung up. Sandy felt better. He had an idea Tony did, too. Certainly some of the color had come back into the sergeant's cheeks. Huddy and a few other troopers came over to the two of them as Tony shut the walk-in side door. But nobody said anything. An outsider with no context upon which to draw might have looked at those faces and thought that the president had died, or war had been declared. "Sandy?" Tony asked. "Any better now?"
"Yeah."
He nodded at the garbage bag, hanging like a dead pendulum with its strange weight at the bottom. "You really think it might have been our air that killed it?"
"It's possible. Or maybe just the shock of finding itself in our world. I don't think I could live for long in the world this thing came from, tell you that much. Even if I could breathe the—"
Tony stopped, because all at once Sandy looked bad again. Terrible, in fact.
"Sandy, what is it? What's wrong?"
Sandy wasn't sure he wanted to tell his SC what was wrong. Wasn't even sure he could. What he'd thought of was Ennis Rafferty. The idea of the missing trooper added to what they had just discovered in Shed B suggested a conclusion that Sandy didn't want to consider. Once it had come into his mind, though, it was hard to get it back out. If the Buick was a conduit to some other world, and the Bat Thing had gone through it in one direction, then Ennis Rafferty had almost certainly gone through in the other.
"Sandy, talk to me."
"Nothing wrong, boss,"
Sandy replied, then had to bend over and grip his shins in both hands. It was a good way to stop yourself from fainting, always assuming you had enough time to use it. The others stood around watching him, still saying nothing, still wearing those long faces that said, "The king is dead. Long live the king." At last the world steadied again, and Sandy straightened up.
"I'm okay," he said.
"Really?" Tony considered his face, then nodded. He lifted the green bag slightly. "This is going into the storage closet off the supply room, the little one where Andy Colucci keeps his stroke books." A few nervous titters greeted this. "That room is going to be off limits except for myself, Curtis Wilcox, and Sandy Dearborn. BPO, people. Got it?" They nodded. "By permission only. Sandy, Curtis, and me. This is now our investigation, so designated." He stood straight in the gathering gloom, almost at attention, holding the garbage bag in one hand and the Polaroids in the other. "This stuff is evidence, of what I have no current idea. If any of you come up with any ideas, bring them to me. If they seem like crazy ideas to you, bring them to me even quicker. That's a crazy situation. But crazy or not, we will roll this case. Roll it as we would any other. Questions?" There were no questions. Or, if you wanted to look at it the other way, Sandy reflected, there was nothing but questions.
"We ought to have a man in that shed as much as we can," Tony said.
"Guard duty, Sarge?" Steve Devo asked.
"Let's call it surveillance," Tony said. "Come on, Sandy, stick with me until I get this thing stowed. I don't want to take it downstairs by myself, and that's the God's truth."
As they started across the parking lot, Sandy heard Archie Arcanian saying that Kurt was going to get mad he didn't get called. Wait and see, that boy was going to be madder than a wet hen.